Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to the Talking Pictures Podcast, broadcasting from sunny Orange County, California. Filmmaker, journalist, and film historian, Paul Booth.
Aloha and welcome to Talking Pictures. My guest today will be Jennifer Blake from upstate New York. She's a writer, director. We're going to do some quick maintenance here as we acknowledge our friend Alexa, who is running a film festival in North Carolina. She actually gave us the title of the show, so we wanted to give a shout out to her film festival. It's called the Highlands Playhouse Classic Film Festival, and it's going to be showing all the great films of 1939 from Mr. Smith Goes to Washington to Stagecoach, Gone with the Wind, and of course Wizard of Oz, all on the big screen. You'll have film historians there, book signings, all kinds of stuff. Again, that's in Highlands, North Carolina. So please tell your family and friends about that. We always like to promote festivals and our friends, especially those who named the show. With that, we will jump into our guest today. And thank you, Tessa, for giving us your time today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for having me. And I have to just give a little vote. Highlands, North Carolina is a beautiful town, too, by the way. Everyone should go and see it.
Oh, thank you for that. Thank you for that. We appreciate that because we love to just throw stuff out there because we never know who will have a cousin or who's visited. So we always think it's not just about Hollywood or Vancouver. It's about everywhere that loves film. So thank you for throwing that out there. We appreciate that. As I look, we can kind of go wherever you want with this, but definitely a few things that I want to get into at first. Of course, we'll read a brief bio here. Tessa is an award-winning writer and director, chosen as one of eight filmmakers to participate in AFI's prestigious directing workshop for women 2015. Tessa shot Election Night, which is a great film, this past summer, starring Perry Gilpin from Frasier and comedian Jake Johansson, which will premiere at the Cannes Film Festival. I'm assuming that already happened because I think I had seen some photos that you had taken there. In the Emerging Filmmaker Showcase at the American Pavilion in May. Now, just so you know, the show is not about Goo Goo Gaga or flipping out over, oh my gosh, you know, Mick Jagger. But one thing that we haven't gotten to do is have filmmakers who have participated in the Cannes Film Festival. And if there's anything that you'd be willing to share with us what that's like, we'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, I have to say Cannes was just way more fun than I expected it to be. Of course, it's like a huge, you know, just I've had a long career as a writer and a filmmaker, and I've gotten the opportunity to play some great festivals. But when you get the phone call and somebody's inviting you to Cannes, it's a pretty crazy day. In fact, I couldn't even call the festival programmer back for 24 hours because I just kept listening to the message over and over again to make sure I was right about Cannes.
That's awesome.
It was so crazy. And then, it is an extraordinary, it's almost like you're enrolling in film college for the week because it's like 30,000 film professionals gather, you know, in a beautiful location. But you also have to learn a ton quickly, like, oh, you need to go to the Mediterranean Pavilion to get the tickets for the thing, and your badge gets you here, but not, you know, you just, and it's like a word of mouth with all the filmmakers of like, oh, no, if you want to do that, you have to go this way. So there's this great, very supportive, energetic excitement at Cannes, and I think it's pretty wonderful to be in an international consortium of filmmakers, in part because, you know, you're exposed to very different ways of financing film. And I think, you know, from my perspective as a filmmaker who primarily or exclusively has worked in the States, you know, it feels mysterious and complicated to finance work, right? And you can go to film markets here and feel, if you don't know exactly what you're doing, you can feel kind of unwelcome, right? And I felt in Cannes, first of all, with all the international pavilions, those countries, you know, Norway and Turkey, and every country has a pavilion, and most of those countries have film funds. So there are actually people in Cannes who want to give money away. They're there. They're trying to give money away. And then the market professionals, you know, it's just such a happy, fun, open feeling at Cannes that the production companies and the producers' reps and all of the people who are in the sort of trade of buying and selling films are generally having a pretty good time. And so you can learn a lot. You can go ask a lot of questions. People are very open. It's very warm. And I just thought it was really refreshingly fun, and I expected it. I think I expected it to be a little bit pretentious, honestly.
Oh well, that would be something that I wouldn't ask you because you participated. But I know I just watched a great documentary, which I suggest to anyone. And if you've been fortunate enough to see it, it's on HBO streaming. It's called "Seduced and Abandoned," and James Toback and Alec Baldwin basically documented their experience of going to the Cannes Film Festival and talking to distributors and talking to money people and saying, hey, we have stars AYZ, and what would it get us? How many territories could we sell? And people would say, oh, that actor, you could get $2 million. But if you got this actor, you could get 20 million in 20 territories before you even shot film. And it was a interesting kind of, it walked a really great line, and you'll appreciate this as a documentarian. It walked a really great line of not judging and not, like you're saying, blaming the pretentious, because as you might have noticed, there's just tons of billionaires just sitting around smoking cigars and looking for ways to give out $2 million, which is like 2 cents to some of us. And it's and again, all opinions of this show when I speak are mine, and when Tessa speaks are hers. So nothing I say represents her or her associates. They just represent me and myself. It was exactly what you were saying. There's guys there that just want to hear, oh, you have such and such, and I'd give you $2 million, but I wouldn't give you $4 million. And just to watch it as a filmmaker myself was kind of like, you know, here, as we know in America, the tugging and pulling to maybe get that extra 50,000 you need or that extra 100,000 you need, that to hear someone saying, I'd give you $2 million if you had this actor, is just kind of like, whoa. So that must have been really quite an experience for you. And then having been there with a film, I won't spoil anything about election night, but I'll let you explain what you'd like to explain, because that was a superb film. And if there's any other festivals that it's going on to, please let us know, because I would love for people to see this film.
Thank you. I've had a really great Election Night is a short film that I made, as you mentioned, through AFI's directing workshop for women, which was an extraordinary experience. It's an incredible program that the Conservatory, the American Film Institute, offers for female directors. It's a very difficult program to get into. I feel very fortunate to have been part of it. And it really is a phenomenal, for all the female filmmakers out there, please check into it. You apply with the script. You have to have directed material before, so you have to have, you know, short films and or commercials, documentaries. You can't have directed feature film, the narrative feature film. I've directed documentary feature films, but not narrative. So you have to have a fair amount of experience, but really be hungry to move to the next level with your work. And you go through a kind of boot camp of about a month in May, which is an incredibly rigorous film school education crammed into 14 and 16-hour days at AFI for about a month. And you have the most exceptionally committed, talented, interesting teachers and speakers and mentors coming and giving you the sort of broadest, most thoughtful sense of the industry and the craft of directing. And there's a lot of emphasis on fantastic storytelling. And the script that I directed came from a short play that my husband wrote originally many, many years ago, and that we adapted and updated. And all the script really grew through the experience of being workshopped so intensively at the Directing Workshop for Women. And I really grew as a director who has had some experience, but I found like a radical difference in my preparation, in my confidence. And it was a really super wonderful shoot this time last year. And it has been, I felt really lucky with where it's gone, honestly, you know, because you can, sometimes you can make really good work and it doesn't go very far, and sometimes you get the opportunity to have a really big experience with it. And I owe a lot of that to the strength of the foundational script, which was not, my husband and I are a writing team, and often we really conceive of things together, but I have to give credit to him for the original conception. And as Paul knows, there's some interesting turns in that script, and he gets credit for sure.
Right.
And to the Directing Workshop for Women for being a support, not just to making the film the best it could be, pushing me to make the film it could be, but also getting me smarter and savvier about how and where to take it. So when I got into Cannes, you know, I had a lot of support. And I was also there with another Directing Workshop for Women, a colleague from the same year, who won the grand prize, first prize, in the Cine Fondation section of Cannes. So that was a pretty cool showing from our class to have two of us there.
Oh, congratulations. And, you know, first off, I want to congratulate you on, it's an inside joke to filmmakers that seldom filmmakers credit their producer or their co-writer. So I want to thank you for acknowledging that, even though it is your husband.
That might be especially hard to credit your husband, right?
Yeah, no, that's true. That's a good point, because I know when it comes to, once you get into a big festival, all of a sudden the director kind of forgets who landed the money or landed the actor or landed the, and it just seems to be how quick they forget your 22-hour days that you were helping them. And again, this show is to be about the good and the sometimes bad of the business. We don't want to censor it and make it sound like La La Land. Because we all know that it has its the best part of the business is to overcome those troubling times. I definitely want to kind of jump around the bio that you sent me here, because I know we want to get into your debut feature documentary. Of course, you're someone who's played South by Southwest. And we'll go back to a question about election night, because I've always wondered if playing the Cannes Film Festival means that, like, the key to the door of, like, you can play any festival you want. But where I wanted to go with this just briefly was, because I was interested in upstate New York, of what made you shoot a film in Hawaii. And then, of course, it was cool to see a film made in Hawaii and see that your crew was some of my friends, and some of your extras were some of my friends. So it was a really important thing for the show, because we want there to be that Hawaii, New York, all over the world thing, where we just found out that we're being listened to in 34 countries. So we love the idea of there just being no barriers with film. So if you could just tell us briefly about what got you shooting a film in Hawaii?
Well, I love that we have Hawaii in common. That is super cool. I will tell you how the film came to be, but I will first say shooting a film on Oahu will always be one of the most wonderful things that ever happened in my life. It was so fantastic. Okay, I had never been to Hawaii before until a few years ago. And we were taking, my husband's a big family, so we were all taking my mother-in-law for her like 80th birthday to Hawaii. So it was like a big family trip. Around that time, our really dear friends, Stacia Droz and Jim Jost, had moved to Hawaii because he was in the camera department of Hawaii 5-0. And he has been in a lot of different camera departments, numbers and alias, and he's a guy who's really come up from the ranks. He's now operating and is ready to have his own DP gig. Jim was talking about shooting a reel to move into being a DP, and we thought it would be way more fun to make a movie than shoot a reel. And so, you know, our tremendous good fortune was that Jim was and is part of such a phenomenal community of filmmakers on Oahu, you know, in Honolulu. And I have honestly never worked with a crew that was so superlative, both professionally and personally. Now, I don't want to throw any of my other crews under the bus because they're also phenomenal. But
no,
in a way,
it
was...
Thank you for saying that, Tessa. Thank you for saying that about Hawaii, because I've worked with those Hawaii crews and I know a lot of those guys, and I will let them know, and we hold that in the highest regard. We want filmmakers to enjoy their experience in the islands, and so thank you very much for that.
They're awesome. I would turn around tomorrow and go shoot again with those guys. And they took such great care of me as a director. I mean, it was only my second scripted piece. And they were so respectful and so on the ball and so generous. And I loved making a movie there. I loved it for every possible reason, from cast to crew to obviously the phenomenally beautiful setting. So I took a lot of lessons from that experience, from people just gently showing me the most professional and the most gracious way to work. And I feel like, in a way, I was really educated by my experience there.
Well, that's great, because what a lot of people don't pay attention to is that those crews, you know, they crew Godzilla and they crew, excuse me, Alexander Payne's The Descendants, and they crew Cameron Crowe's Aloha, which we won't get into that controversy, but these are guys who will give Cameron Crowe, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way, yourself as an indie filmmaker, you will get the same effort. You will get the same effort if it's an afternoon shoot and you just need help getting a pickup shot. And that's what I love about the crew guys there, and that a lot of the guys you worked with, like Vince and Joji, who was in The Wedding, I've known those guys up to 15 years, and they are not one bit different today than they were 15 years ago. They don't carry around the, I've worked on Hawaii 5-0, and I've worked with a filmmaker from Cannes, and so now I'm, you know, better. I mean, it's like I said, Vince is, it's so great. We're going to have Vince on Friday, so this is going to be a great little thing to get, maybe sneak in some questions about his experience on your film. And so we really appreciate that, and that's what Hawaii's mission is that we want to be the locations, but we also want to be the good crew and help tell good stories.
Well, and it's more, so I felt even more than crew. I felt like they welcomed me like family in a way that you don't experience a lot of other places. And so I'll forever be grateful. And hi, Vince. Have fun on the episode.
Oh, yes. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. And it's, of course, you know, the word is Ohana for there. Once you're there and a part of family, you're Ohana. So I can get, well, once you said that, I knew exactly how you were treated and exactly what you got out of the experience. With that, we can move into, there's so many things as I look at your bio that you've done here, and I'm not saying this, please don't be false modest to this. I'm reading the bio of someone that's like the next Penny Marshall or the next Kimberly Pierce or the next Catherine Bigelow, because to see that you're doing South by Southwest and a documentary, to see that you're contributing to ALS, and to see that you're just all over the place with your art, I want to commend you for not just not sticking to one thing and to understanding that art is more than just one thing. So with that, what can you tell us about this documentary that you had? I mean, gosh, premiering at South by Southwest, I mean, what more can you do as an indie filmmaker than go from Cannes to South by Southwest? I mean...
Thank you. I mean, it was, you know, great good luck in a lot of cases. And South By was a great, really perfect place to premiere. The documentary is called Five Wives, Three Secretaries, and Me, which is a documentary about my multiply married Texas oil guy dad and his, you know, wives and business partners, but in a way, basically sort of a journey of a daughter trying to come to know her charismatic, interesting, challenging, difficult, fascinating father, you know, even as he's sort of right in front of me. And it was, South By was a great place to bring it because, you know, it's a Texas film and it was a Texas, it was a world premiere in Texas, which was just completely perfect. And South By welcomed us so warmly. And out of South By, we got a theatrical distribution deal for that film. And so we premiered it at the Quad Theaters in New York, and then we opened it nationally. And it's a while ago now, but it was really great to have a theatrically released film. And a piece I'm still really proud of. It's a very... You know, when I started making that documentary, there were not so many personal kind of memoir narrative documentaries, and I strove to make a documentary that, while very particular to my life and my family, had, you know, universal themes in it. And, you know, ultimately it's a film about loving somebody with whom you profoundly disagree or with, you know, from whom you're really, really different. And right. You know... I loved that experience of showing the film and having people be like, oh my God, that's just like my grandmother, but she's Jewish in Hartford, or he's, you know, that's my dad who's just, you know. So it was everyone having a person in their lives that they could identify with, and it was a great, great experience.
Well, that's too many people that listen to the show know my dad, so I can't explain how I relate to that film. Yeah, it's definitely there. It's why I didn't laugh at you, but kind of laughed with you. Of, I wonder what the documentary would be if I had to document where certain things are that I think sometimes are rites of passage. I know I don't say it's different. I think women have it with their mother and men have it with their dad, where there's just those moments where it's just like, I love you more than anyone, but I, you know, wouldn't mind maybe giving you a smack in the face. So it's a really interesting thing to, and it's human. It's human. It's not bad. It's not, we associate it with being bad or horrible or how dare you. But on this show, we like to just examine anything that's humanity. So it's not about censoring. Now, if you don't mind me asking, this is just a brief question before we can move into discussing some ALS stuff. How long have you been making films?
God, 20 years probably. I mean, you know, I've been, it's all I know how to do, really. I don't have any professional skills beyond telling stories. So I have no choice but to try to make a living out of this. Five Wives was my first big piece, but I also worked in theater and have been a board member of the storytelling organization called The Moth, which people know about now because of the podcast. And, you know, stories in one form or the other, also as a journalist, have been what I've always done. My husband and I have been a writing team, as I mentioned, in film and television. And, You know, I spent a good chunk of years in New York, primarily as a filmmaker, and then when we moved to California, my husband and I have been primarily writers, and in the last couple of years, I've sort of burst back into being a filmmaker again and looking to move into television directing, which has been very tough to break into, but I'm beginning to see that it's actually going to happen, but you know, for me, there's a restlessness, like I really need to make things. And while being a career writer has been really rewarding in a lot of ways, it's been tough to not be able to control whether our scripts come to fruition or not. So I've been really grateful for the opportunities. I've learned a lot about how to tell dramatic stories, writing for studios and networks. And I hope to keep doing that. But I also, at some point, and Leave Keys and Car in Hawaii was the thing that really threw me back into being a filmmaker, and interestingly, simultaneous with that, I made a documentary about women coming out of prison in South Central LA, and the producer, my colleague, my co-director and co-producer for that is UK-based. She's in London, but she was in LA for our shoot, and Stacia, who produced with me for Leave Keys and Cars in Hawaii, and I can, when it's possible, we spend our summers in upstate New York, from which I'm calling you now, and one day, I was on the phone with Stacia in Hawaii, and Emma from the UK called in, and I thought, is it possible that they could both be awake at the same time? But toward your mission of kind of global filmmaking, it's been phenomenal to have colleagues as producers, and I have wonderful producers in LA too, but people everywhere, and that is a great part of modern life, being able to work collaboratively at a distance.
Right, the technology, and some days I'm fortunate to have the Hawaii, LA, Midwest, and East Coast time zone. So I'm taking a little break and then doing calls, and then, you know, up at 11 o'clock at night for an 8 p.m. Hawaii call. And it always goes back to that thing that I think we all heard as an artist at one time or another of artists are lazy, or artists don't work, or artists need to get a job. And I don't say it to all 9-to-5ers, but I say it to the ones that say to me, I say, you know, 9-to-5ers clock out. They don't take 11 o'clock phone calls, and they don't get up at 2 in the morning to write a script idea that they had. And so this is, I'm really excited because I had skimmed over your bio to have some questions, but then to really hear that you're actually doing your own thing and your own stories to tell stories, but that you're paying attention to women in prison, and you're paying attention to ALS, and you're doing what I think, not to be on a high horse, but what I think that artists should do is not just be wrapped up in their own short or feature. I think they should be paying attention to what goes on around them, and I think they should be doing a project that helps others or that calls attention to a social issue. I mean, you don't have to be Oliver Stone or Spike Lee, but, you know, you can get out there without throwing a right hook to the face and say something. So I really want to commend you for that, because this is another reason why we wanted this show, was because we wanted people to entertain, but then we wanted people who kind of go out there and say something. And once I saw election night, I actually did not watch Leave Keys in the Car till this morning, having no idea the surprises that were in store for me. So I kind of wanted to stay away from your work until I talked to you, because I just thought election night is so great that I just want to hear what this person has to say before I have my own judgments about their work. So, you know, thank you for sharing all this. And if there's, you know, the thing that we always like to do as we wrap up a show is give a filmmaker a chance to promote a website or an upcoming project or a festival screening. We like to give them a couple of minutes to where it just, the floor is yours, and feel free to just, you know, say what you need to say.
Oh, awesome. Well, I think there are a couple things going on. One is that election night is playing a bunch of festivals coming up, and one in North Carolina, in DC Shorts, in Hollywood at Holly Shorts, and I'm forgetting, Rhode Island International Film Festival. Anyway, that is up at my site, which is tessablake.com. There's a tab for election night under films. You can get to that and see that. And then I also have a new, brand new project I just shot with the lead is Amy Landecker, who you guys might know from Transparent. She plays the older sister, Sarah, on Transparent. She's a wonderful human being and an amazing actor. Incredibly fortunate to have worked with her on a very intensely dramatic new short film that I just saw the rough cut for today. My brilliant fellow Film Fatale editor, Brooke Siebel, just cut a great rough cut. And we're about to launch a fundraising campaign for that piece to be able to finish it up. And that you can also find at tessablake.com in the film tab. So we're all posted on the front page. So, yeah, tessablake.com is the spot to go if you guys want to hear more. And I'm totally open to being contacted. I don't mind at all. Sometimes it takes me a while to get back to people, but I'm just a filmmaker like any other filmmaker, and if there's anything I can do to help, I will.
Well, and please just for a moment, for any new listeners, because we've had, I think it's four now guests from the Film Fatale group, please just briefly tell us what that is for any new listeners.
Oh, yeah, I'm so psyched to talk about this. Film Fatales is a really wonderful peer-to-peer organization founded by Leah Meyerhoff in New York, and now we have a gajillion chapters. You can find information at filmfatales.com, I think is our site, pretty sure that's right. And basically we just have monthly get-togethers. Everyone shares kind of their good news or some of their challenges, and then we have a topic for conversation that ranges all the way from sort of thorny questions of how to surmount perceived discrimination, because it is still tough for women in film in America and lots of other places too, to much more technical things like, you know, discussions about how and when to storyboard, how to share those storyboards, or any kind of craft questions, how to collaborate well with producers. So it's an organization that recognizes that women are great support to other women, and it recognizes that we're a long way from having equal representation in our industry, and we're out to fix that, and we're out to fix that peer-to-peer. And so it's an amazing driving force. Brooke Siebold and Chaz Bennett run it in L.A., and there are a bunch of chapters. So check it out on Facebook or check it out on the web, and come be part of it, because it makes a big difference to have people to bounce your ideas off of.
Well, yeah, because speaking of, I had total serendipity. I was covering the Newport Beach Film Festival, and Lori had a film called Scout, and I had never done this before. I had asked a programmer to pitch me on a film. I always just picked my own stuff and kind of left programmers alone because I know they're so busy. And he happened to say Scout. And I was like, okay, I'll check out Scout. It's a road movie, and I've driven across the country, so I want to see a road movie. And so long story short, I saw it, and then I brought Lori on as a guest, and she started talking about your guys' group. And I was like, wait a minute. I'm like, filmmakers that support each other and that show up at each other's screenings and that, I mean, we all have our core two or three or four that are always there. I call them, they'll go to Sundance with you or sink on the Titanic with you. But to have an entire group and to have a no agenda, not you owe me, no I owe you. And I was really intrigued by that. If anything, I was bummed that I couldn't join. And it was, but I was in full support of it. So that's why with this show, we wanted to have as many members on as possible. We're even working towards pitching that we have at least one a month on. To keep with that, because we're on the side of this revolution that's going on, that there should be more. And I every single guest we've had has shown me a film that's blown me away. I'm like you when you say all filmmakers are filmmakers. Last year I watched 1,400 movies. This year I was trying to watch 1,500 for 2015, but I only say it because when you watch 1,450 movies, but then you see these three shorts that make the top 10 out of 1,450, and we're talking Scorsese films and Alexander Payne films, and we're talking the stuff that it should be as good as it is, and you're just being like, why are they making short films? This should be a feature. These are feature directors. This should be a feature group. So it made me, you know, not only want to join, but it made me be like, gosh, I wish I was one of those guys that had a can who had billions and some cigars on a lot to just say, okay, here's what you need. Here's what you need. Because I think I had told you in an email, and I tell every guest, I don't tell anybody anything they want to hear. There's enough baloney in the business. So when I say something, I totally mean it. And I've just been so thankful because not only has the group shared great films with us, great interviews, but our numbers have went up. And we don't do it for that. We do it to give to other filmmakers. So when we can see a way that we can support filmmakers and then also you guys turn around and support us, that's just the, you know, it makes me wake up each day and feel like doing a podcast. So, you know, we thank you for that and explaining the group and for joining us today. And the last thing I wanted to say was, now that you've been on, you are now we call it cousin, part of the family tree. Awesome. You're welcome back in the future when you finish a project or when you have your next project or when you have something you'd like to promote. We're eventually working towards if a filmmaker wants to call in and say, hey, I'm playing Sundance this week and take 2 minutes to say, and we're showing at such and such, come on out, I'll be doing a Q&A. We're even working towards that to where we can give filmmakers whatever they need, we're here like a grip or crew house to say, you need dolly track. Well, we have airtime to support what you need. So please know and keep that in your notes that we're here to support what you do. And we thank you for your time. It's been I've had a plethora of technical glitches. It's been a superb time talking to you.
It's been awesome, Paul. Thank you so much for your time and what you do to support all filmmakers. We really, really, really need this kind of support from thoughtful people and colleagues, you know, from each other. So super appreciative to have been on the show and to be part of the family now.
Excellent. Thank you so much, and you have a great day.
You too, Paul. Take care.
Aloha. And that was Tessa Blake, who joined us for a wonderful episode. We did have some technical glitches, and there might be some bumps, but like we said, it's from New York to Hawaii. New York filmmaker shooting a film in Hawaii with our buddies, one who will be a guest later this week. So with that, I end with my usual call-off sign. It will never change. First of all, aloha, and second of all, do whatever you're going to do today. Have a great day, but make sure and watch a good movie.
Thank you for listening to the Talking Pictures Podcast, real conversation and movie-induced inspiration.